Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Cole Petham here as always, and of course we're here to talk all things Aston Villa Football Club with a later than usual podcast. I do apologize, but with timings not working out, and let's be honest, Villa's 4-0 loss to Spurs on Sunday, I think a lot of people can probably say they do not blame us. Regardless, we are back. You will have your Twitter polls and all of that good stuff coming up, but of course we do have Mr. Sebastian Bacon and Simon O'Regan with me, and we'll just kind of go through all the latest Villa happenings, get our thoughts ahead of Thursday's second leg tie against Ajax at Villa Park in the Europa Conference League and all that good stuff. But nonetheless, Seb, I'll come to you first. How's it going with you?
Very good intro, very fluently spoken. Yeah, it's nice to have some time to reflect. I think coming on straight after might not have been the best decision, even if I was able to. A disappointing day, and I think Simon will also back that up, having been there. But we've got a chance to avenge it with a massive game on Thursday, which normally we don't get the chance to. So just got to keep looking forwards at the moment.
100%. Simon, how's it going for you, my friend?
Yeah, a lot better tonight then on Sunday, had we been recording it straight after the game. I think sometimes after a result and performance like that, maybe a bit wiser to just take a breath before recording anything or tweeting anything that you may regret. So yeah, probably for the best that we left it a day or two.
Yeah, I mean, social media was a buzz for about 30 to 60 minutes post-match, and then you could tell everyone had enough because it was content creators fighting with each other, Villa fans fighting with each other in general, just a giant shit show. And then you could tell everyone just had enough because I literally went on Twitter maybe, or slash X, whatever the hell you want to call it these days, maybe two or three times after an hour post-match, and it was dead. Like, there was no discussion of anything. And that's when you could tell Villa fans have had enough of a particular result, not of a fantastic season. I mean, we do have to put that into perspective. But nonetheless, I mean, we're not going to dive into that result too much because, of course, you guys are hearing this on the Wednesday. It's massively outdated. But the one thing I did want to mention, because it's going to impact Villa for the next three Premier League games, of course, John McGinn did get sent off. That'll be the discussion now. Of course, he will be most likely playing, I would imagine, on Thursday in the Conference League, because, of course, that doesn't qualify for that one. But, Simon, I'll come to you first. I mean, quite simply put, red card, yes or no?
No. I was gobsmacked in sitting in the whole end when I saw the red card come out. I was surprised to see, to have seen so many people, not just neutrals, but a lot of Villa fans as well, saying that they think it was an absolute nail on Reds. But don't get me wrong, it was a stupid, petulant challenge. He shouldn't have allowed himself to have got as wound up as he did, especially as the captain. But it's not a red card. I think if that had happened on the other side of the pitch and you've not had their bench erupt right in front of it, I don't think a red would have been pulled out for that. I was really surprised. He had that absolute tosser, James Maddison, in the ref's face all game. Like, don't get me wrong, he's a brilliant player. Love him if he was playing for us because he's a quality player. But he's a prick. He wasn't out the referee's face for the entire game, whether it's a free kick to Tottenham, he wanted the yellow cards for our players. If it was a free kick to us, he was complaining there was never a foul. And I think he did get in the referee's head and got an influence on him. And as I say, I think the fact that he was right in front of the dugout and their bench completely erupts and a few of their players got involved. But for me, that it wasn't a red card. I think it didn't look great, but if you actually look at sort of where the contact was made, it was more like their knees sort of clashing together. As I say, it was a stupid challenge, 100% a yellow card, but you just never a red. And you kind of, I don't know if any of you saw anything from the Brighton and Forest game. I think it was on the Sunday as well. Moda, I think the Brighton player, launches himself off the ground 2 feet into someone, and that's a yellow. It just doesn't make any sense, but it's not a red. And I don't think it would have made a single bit of difference to that game on Sunday had he stayed on the pitch. That game was done. But, you know, like you said, and I'm sure we'll have a little chat about it, unless they think they would be successful with an appeal, you know, and heard him think about that. But him missing the three games with sort of the injuries that we've already got, it's a big blow.
Yeah, I mean, Seb, Premier League-wise, it is a massive blow. We'll have to see how Villa cope. But, I mean, in particular, heading into Thursday, maybe it's the optimist in me, but it is a positive at least we have them for this, because if Villa do advance past Ajax, I mean, considering the draw will be on, I think, March 15th for the next round for the quarterfinals, he'll miss a few games. I mean, if Villa do get by this unscathed with him missing three league games, I mean, it's honestly a massive boost because we have a key player getting crucial rest, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, because if you were to look at that Villa team and pick out a player who you don't think would ever need any rest, it would be John McGinn, because simply for the fact that he just doesn't stop. But I'm inclined to agree with Simon. I didn't think it was a red at the time. My dad did. He looked at me straight away and he went, he's off here. And I sort of laughed him off. I was like, no chance. He's tripped him up. No chance. And I didn't actually know he got sent off until he'd gone down the tunnel. I didn't see the card come out. But it seems weird to me, because I wouldn't class it as dangerous. He was out of control and he was stupid. But I feel like he was on the edge all game. I feel like from about 20 minutes in, you know, people were turning around and going, McGinn's going to get himself a card in a minute, just because he kept making silly fouls, probably out of frustration. And I don't blame him at all. He looked like the only player on the pitch that was frustrated at times. So he probably did it in a way to rally up his teammates, not expecting to be sent off. And again, I agree with Simon. Had the bench not reacted like they did, I don't think the referee would have given a red. I just don't. He's not off the ground. He's not out of control. It seems to me like the most cynical yellow foul you will ever see. He's brought him down on the halfway line. Maybe excessive force, but I mean, when you weigh it up, I think a yellow would have been justified. But yeah, you are right. Having that rest and being able to still play in the conference games if we progress, being able to have our captain on the pitch is always going to be a positive.
Yeah, and I mean, in regards to the... I guess the incident with, I think it was a doggy, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, the fact that he got up 2 seconds later and was standing up and then kind of looked around and then fell over again. It was very Douglas Luiz, or not Douglas Luiz, Jesus Christ. David Luiz, Jesus. I almost slipped that one of him, where there's that famous clip when he's still playing at Chelsea, I believe it was, and he was grabbing his ankle, but like looking around to see if anyone's kind of noticed what's going on. I'm not saying it's to that extreme, but the fact that he's able to stand up and then falls over, it does make you wonder. And like the fact that they're saying it's as severe, I mean, this being Spurs fan, as severe as Cash taking out Bentancur, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's a little bit of a weird obsession with that regardless, but I guess John McGinn's going to have to look out anytime he goes out to London going forward. But regardless of that, I mean, Simon, I'll spin it this way. I mean, even heading into Thursday, maybe we'll just focus on that going forward, but even relating it back to the last two fixtures, of course, the 0-0 against Ajax in the first leg, and of course the 4-0 loss to Spurs, how do you expect Villa to kind of set up going into this game, knowing that both teams at some point are going to have to go for it? And I guess this is a second question to backtrack. Were you kind of surprised how we set up over the last week? Because I can understand it myself, but I'm also a bit surprised. I'm kind of sitting in the middle.
So on the setup we had against Tottenham, I was surprised. I kind of, funny enough, on the podcast that I do, we had a bit of a discussion about it, and part of me can understand it to some extent, because in the first half, it did kind of work. Like I thought the first half was we weren't great ourselves, and the system definitely I thought really sort of hindered us. But it did nullify Tottenham. I thought they had a lot of the ball, but didn't really do an awful lot with it. Obviously, the problem with it is once if you go a goal behind, like you are quite knackered with it. Obviously, we've got a lot of injuries, and we'd had the game on Thursday night away. So, like, there's part of me that can maybe understand some of the thinking behind it. But what does kind of confuse me with it is we've never ever like backed away from the system that we play. You know, we didn't do anything like that when we played Man City and Arsenal. Now, no, obviously, that was a few months ago, and it's not just as simple as that. But we've always, especially at Villa Park, always got at teams and, you know, been on the front foot straight from the kickoff. And, you know, let's be honest, like Tottenham aren't brilliant. That's what annoyed me. Is I was kind of looking at it thinking, hang on, we completely changed our setup for Tottenham. Like I thought that was really strange, and obviously, clearly it didn't fucking work, and I'm pretty sure if he had the chance to redo it, he wouldn't have done that. So that kind of in a roundabout way answers the first question. I fully expect to go back to how we've been ever since Emery's come in, and to be honest, I do fancy us on Thursday against Ajax. As we discussed when we spoke after that game, like we weren't great that night over there, but Ajax weren't either. Like, let's be honest, Ajax did nothing really in that game, and I think they've got a very very young team, which the atmosphere over there and their home crowds obviously gave them a bit of impetus behind them, but I do think it will be very different on Thursday night. It's been a long time since Villa have had these kind of knockout European nights, and with my advanced years, I'm lucky enough to have been to a few of them in the past, and the atmosphere at Villa Park in like big proper European games is like it is something special, and I think you'll see a big reaction from that, which we, after every defeat this season, I think there's only one occasion where we've not bounced back with a win, and I think that was when we lost to Chelsea in the cup, and then I think we lost to Man U, I think, in the league, but we haven't lost back to back league games, for example, all season. We've generally always tended to bounce back well from a defeat, so I would expect that to be the case on Thursday, and then going forward after that, it'll be interesting to see how the McGinn-shaped hole is filled.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a massive debate. But Seb, I'll spin it to you this way. I mean, the last two games, Villa have failed to score. And of course, two different circumstances, at least I felt, heading into Ajax. I felt like the first leg, Unai Emery would want to keep it tight, and he did. Very surprised at how he kind of set up against Spurs kind of initially, and obviously didn't score again. So two goalless games in a row. Do you think there's any concern in that, or do you expect the team to put it right on Thursday?
I wouldn't see it as a concern. I feel it's difficult. Ollie Watkins really surprised me at the weekend, because he had a chance where he went clean through and he squared it. I don't know whether you can remember, Simon. He was offside anyway, but there was a time where and you think for striker who's on form, who's had all the plaudits, like that's an Ollie Watkins that I'd expect when he hasn't scored in 12 and people are getting on his back.
That was, as you say, it was offside. So, it kind of does become a bit irrelevant. But that was that was one of the oddest things I've seen for a while. Yeah. Like, I can't really work out what was going through his head at that moment, but I don't think I thought he had possibly the worst game I've seen him have. And I think everyone was really poor, but there was something off, whether he got quite a bad like challenge on him, I thought, early on, which went unpunished for some reason. And so I wonder, maybe like, give benefit of the doubt, maybe he was just carrying a bit of an injury, but he didn't seem himself, did he?
No, and look, the last thing I'm going to do is start calling him out, because he's been excellent this season, and I still think he is excellent, and no players were good at the weekend, but there were times that he seemed afraid to shoot, which, for the form that he's on and the player that he's been recently, I think sort of not only surprised me, like you said, but also summed up our day, that we didn't really seem at it in any aspect. But going back to your question, Cole, no, I wouldn't see it as a worry. I think we will put it right. And I do just think it was one of those days. Ajax was different. I'd have taken a 0-0 from the start. We clearly set up that way, and I feel like we set up that way for Spurs as well, and planned to catch them on the counter with their high line. But unfortunately, it just didn't pay off.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't pay off. And I mean, you can look throughout that squad. I thought Leon Bailey was very poor as well. I mean, a lot of players were. When I look back at that result in particular, I always feel like it was more of a individual mistakes rather than a complete failure of the tactical setup. I mean, you could look at Ezri Konsa giving the ball away for the second one instantly after the first. I mean, the two after that, the red card, it feels like everyone just kind of gave up. I mean, you go into this game. And, oh, sorry, Simon, go ahead.
I just said just like you saying, the individual mistakes were on the tactical setup, but that Konsa mistake is as a direct result of that tactical setup, though. If you look back, Jamie Carragher on the Monday Night Football over here made a really good point when he was looking at that. He's dribbling the ball out and he's looking up, looking for a pass. And he stopped it, paused the screen just maybe about a second or two before the ball gets turned over. And there was a really big gap between the Spurs midfields and their defence. And there was no Villa player in there. And Carragher was pointing out, so how many times this season have you seen McGinn or Bailey or Ramsey or Diaby or whoever in that gap, in that position? Because we change from that box 4-4-2 midfield, the passing lanes and passing options that have been there all season weren't there. And Konsa looking up, thinking, well, what the fuck am I meant to, like, where is this pass here? So whilst you're right that there were individual errors that, you know, you do have to take responsibility for them, but that's not direct knock-on effect from the way that the team was set up.
Yeah, no, I guess sorry.
Can I ask you a question, Simon?
Yeah.
Do you think there's anything in the stat that we've conceded, like, I think it's 30% of our goals in between the 45th minute after half-time and the 60th minute?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know if you saw after the Luton game, Watkins' interview on Sky, where he basically referenced it as well. It's, you know, kind of, because they've all tended to be when we've been like two or three up and like in complete control of games, and there is something. Well, clearly, I mean, you know, the stats show that there's clearly, I don't know what the best way to describe it, because you could say like it's a mentality issue, but I don't think it's a conscious thing that like the player. I don't think the players are going out there thinking this game's done and dusted. We can switch off, but they obviously are, and so like that is a mentality thing. But again, that can sound like, you know, sort of saying the players got a weak mentality or they haven't got an elite level mentality. And I don't. Whilst I think there's possibly an element of that in it, but I don't think that is a fair accusation to level at them, because you've seen in, you know, so many occasions this season that they have shown that, you know, we only lost 7 games this season in the league. Like, you've got to have a good mentality to do that, but there clearly is something in that, and it's a weird one, because I don't think it's something that is an easy fix. It's not like it's a tactical thing that you can work on, or, you know, a problem with set piece that you can work on. I don't know how you change that other than, you know, it's a tough one to answer, like how you solve that. But there clearly is some sort of issue in there. And can you see now we are conceding a lot of goals. I mean, we always struggled to keep a clean sheet, even that sort of September to November, early December run when we were winning most weeks. We might concede like one goal. You know, we're now like we're basically conceding at least two every game. And but then again, you know, there's like Kamara in there. Like it all, like it, the injuries kind of all do add up. I know, you know, every team does have injuries, but there's only so long that you can keep coping with them. The fact that we've coped as well as we have for as long as we have, I think kind of gets overlooked, to be honest.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What season was it? I feel like we've had this discussion a few seasons ago where there was a certain, I don't know, 10, 15 minute span of time where Villa would concede a lot of goals. Was it around the same time? Like, was it the 2020-21 season or something? Something in around there. It's when since we've been promoted back into the Premier League.
Yeah, sounds about right, because that would have been the COVID season, when we were doing really well until it's called a spade until Greenish got injured.
Yeah,
and then I think it was probably around that time, yeah.
Because it is interesting, and obviously it's an interesting stat to look into. I think personally, maybe this is too simply put and maybe not explained well enough, but to me, I think it's just not mentioned, like matching the mentality and look at the Forest game. We absolutely obliterated them in the first half, and we just didn't match that output in that physicality, mentality, whatever, in the second half. And even if it was, I don't know, Unai Emery saying, you know what, match that for the first 10 minutes and then kind of see that off. Maybe that is one element of this Villa side that hasn't yet adapted.
I think one element is, I do think the Kamara injury actually is a big element of not having Kamara in there, because as you know, obviously since he's been out, we have won like a few of the games since he's been out. So it's, you know, we obviously are still able to cope without him, but he's a very different type of midfielder. You look at, say, that Forest game or the Luton game, where you've got that 10, 15 minute spell after half time, and you know the team are going to come at you. He's someone that he'll just sit in front of that back four and he'll just, you know, not let them get through so easily. And then also, I think those are the type of games where someone like Mings is missed in the team, because as don't be wrong, Torres and Konsa are brilliant. They're really, really good defenders. I'd say that they are probably better defenders and better players probably than Mings. But Mings has things to his game and attributes that they just do not have. And so I think there's, you know, I think players like that missing is an element to it, but then, you know, there is also probably a subconscious switching off from players as well when they're in a comfortable position, as Watkins referenced. So, as you said, I don't think that there's an easy fix, but it's slightly concerning. I'd say I don't think it's a a huge, huge worry at the moment, because it's only this Spurs game where it's really come and, you know, obviously bitten us on the arse. If that was a trend that continued between now and the end of the season, then obviously you would look at that and go, okay, right, there's something that needs to be done there. But yeah, it's not, it's something that I don't like, but it's not something that I'm getting too worried about yet.
Fair enough. I mean, it is kind of interesting when you look at the parallels between Villa and Ajax in terms of recent results. Of course, a 0-0 last week in the first leg. Go back to the domestic leagues. I mean, Villa lose 4-0. Of course, Ajax didn't, but they drew 2-2 with Fortuna Sittard, which, looking at where Fortuna Sittard are, they're in 10th in the Eredivisie, which, no disrespect to the Eredivisie, is probably equivalent to, like, very, very low Premier League, if I'm being generous, probably Championship. If you could probably say for most of that. So sorry if there's any Dutch fans here that take offense to that. But I think they do have to kind of question some of the quality lower down in that division, as you do in most divisions. And there's that debate. But bringing that up, because, of course, them drawing that puts them in a little bit of a stickier situation in terms of them qualifying for any European competition next season, because they're still 6 points behind. Villa, of course, aren't quite there in terms of that threat. Of course, there is Spurs who have a game in hand. That is against Chelsea, so who knows what's going to happen. But my point is, it's not like Villa are going into this game on super low confidence, Seb. We're sitting there worried about the quality of Ajax that are flying. I mean, maybe it's me being biased as a Villa fan, and of course this is a Villa podcast, so fair enough. But I just feel like going into Thursday, this situation suits Villa.
And we won't let that happen. Not a chance. Playing at home, he will know, as well as the players, just how big of an opportunity this is. Not only to progress, but also to put things right in terms of putting out a statement, potentially, to other clubs looking on, United, Spurs, that, you know, this isn't a blip that is going to last. We've had a few blips under Emery, but we've always come out of them, and we've always come out of them 10 times stronger. So, you know, there's no worry or concern on my end at all. Emery likes to not use injuries as an excuse, so I'm going to try and do the same. However, when you look at the bigger picture, to be where we are in the circumstances that this season has thrown at us, I still believe that we're in a strong position. Spurs have some difficult games coming up. United are United, to put it quite bluntly. I better stop talking about them because of my contract.
Ooh, big talker there.
But yeah, when you look at the broader picture, I believe that we have a chance to put out a statement and to show others that we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Simon, I'll spin this one back to you. I mean, going into this game, I think we can all agree we favor Villa to win. Ajax have a very, very young side, extremely young. This is going to be a big occasion for them. I mean, hopefully the atmosphere is up there with the best we've ever seen at Villa Park. But I mean, of course, you have the Unai Emery factor. You look at the squad, you'd imagine they're going to set up differently than they did in the first leg. And to be honest, if either side's going to counterattack and succeed from that, you would have to favor Villa, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll set up to counter-attack them. I fully expect us to go and sort of implement the game that we tend to go with, especially at home. And I'm pretty confident, to be honest, about Thursday. As I say, obviously, it's like Sunday wasn't great, and like people, I can maybe see why some people might look at that and think, oh, geez, if we play anything like that, then we won't do well. But I really can't see us doing anything like that again. And like we've all kind of already said, we've always bounced back really well. And again, I think if people kind of look at the first leg and try and read in, you know, from that how this Thursday will go. I don't think that's the way to do it either, because that first leg, I suspect Emery was more than happy with how that went. Come away 0-0, beat them at Villa Park, because they're not a good team. Like, they've not played well at all this season. They're not the team that they were a few years ago. By no means, you know, it's going to be a walkover. I'm sure they'll come and you know, pull up a decent fight. We'll have to work hard for it. But I fully expect, you look at the quality of our team, you compare it to theirs, we really should be getting through that side. So I'm really looking forward to it. As I say, it's been a while since there's been a, you know, proper big knockout European game at Villa Park. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
These are the games that we waited for last season on that run.
Exactly.
You know, if you'd have told us last year, Villa v Ajax and the knockouts, you know, we'd have gone, oh, you know, can't wait for that one. So there's no reason to be wary or to, you know, have any concern. You know, we've come out of the first leg with a favourable result as well. Everything is pointing in our direction. Why not look forward to it? Why not enjoy it? Why not sit here and relish it? I bring it back to this quite a lot, but I remember being in the pub with Simon afterwards and us going, you know, we've, whatever happens next season, obviously last season at the time of saying it, whatever happens next season, just enjoy it and just remember how far we've come. So, you know, that's certainly the approach that I'll be taking.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something we've probably preached for a long time this season, especially when Villa got to a point where we knew they were going to be a very upper half of the table team. And I mean, you just have to. I mean, look at all the shit we've went through over the last decade. It's the perfect example of, I'm not saying, well, I hope that doesn't come around anytime soon, Jesus Christ, but you do have to sit back and really appreciate it for what it is, because you never know what could happen. Typically, guys, we don't do this, or if we do, I usually cut it out in the edit after we record. But since this is a massive tie, a second leg, depending on if Villa do or do not advance, I want a score prediction. I don't care, Seb, if you're shaking your head, you're not sitting on the fence. I want a score prediction from you first, just because of that ridiculous head shaking that probably just gave you a concussion. So go ahead, young
Seb. So much. Oh, I hate these.
Just say how you feel. It's a simple prediction.
I think Villa are going to win, and they will win 3-1.
Fair enough. Simon, how about you?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, 3-1.
Well, I'm just going to make that a trifecta, because I was thinking 4-1, and then I thought that's probably too brave. So I'm just going to sit on the fence ever so slightly, because I'm allowed to do that, and say 3-1 as
well. Oh, we're all so boring, aren't we?
Oh, we are so boring. Screw it, I'll go 4-1. Why the frick not? It's not going to happen. If we do, I'm ecstatic, and then I'm going into the rest of the season thinking we're going to win everything, to be honest, because if we score 4 goals in one game in this tie, I will be ecstatic based on the pressure, because we've seen Villa in the past with pressure, and let's be honest, it always hasn't been that great. But anyways, let's get over to, of course, the Twitter polls. So every time, typically, we would do this on a Sunday, we'd give you a couple hours over on Twitter/X to vote on 3 different questions that we want you to answer. Of course, we're not going to do Dean Smith's Juggling 6 today, but we will just do the polls, and we will save that for Sunday, I do promise. And not only because I'm just nervously looking around thinking completely forgot to do that. So blame me for that one. Regardless of that, the first question out of the 3 that I wanted everyone over on Twitter to answer was, would you be happy with Aston Villa finishing 5th? So there's only 2 answers for this. Yes or no. Simon, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you want to finish 4th, and we've, you know, been in 4th for the decent portion of the season. But my prediction at the start of the season was that Villa would finish 5th. Then Brendan and Mings got injured for the season, and I thought, okay, I'll take 7th or 8th. So yeah, I'll be happy with 5th.
Fair enough. Seb, how about you?
Yes, to put it shortly, I remember I predicted us at the start of the season. I had us in eighth. I thought European football would take its toll. It would certainly be more disappointing now, the fact that we've occupied that place for what seems like so long. But yes, when it all comes down to it, I would be very happy with fifth.
The long forgotten season prediction pod that my old laptop stole from us. So many things have were said on there that were actually relatively accurate and can never be proven. So blame an old Samsung laptop for that one. I'm gonna go yes. I mean, fifth is an improvement on last season. I think that's what we're focusing on first and foremost. Yes, would it be annoying to drop out of the top four? I mean, still, that could technically still mean Champions League football, even if not a Europa League spot is an upgrade on the Conference League. It's still European football, and that's what we want. I know a lot of people go on about needing Champions League football because of FFP and all that stuff and buying more players or keeping players, yada, yada, yada. Again, I think we're going to be fine either way. I think we're going to get European football regardless. So let's see what happens, but I am going yes for that. Secondly, of course, who is advancing from the quarterfinals? We've already answered that, so I'm not going to ask these guys further answers. We all think Villa are going to, I don't want to say cruise through, but it might be rather convincing. So, of course, 90.2% said Villa, 9.8, and negative 9.8 said Ajax. I should also mention for the first question for fifth, 84.5% said yes, and 15.5% said no. And of course, the most anticipated question, the third question, the non-serious question every single week that everyone wants to answer and to know, which animal is better? I already know what Simon's going to say for this because we've had this conversation. Which animal is better, a dog or a cat? Simon O'Regan, just give me your answer. I already know. Seb.
Wait, hold on, Simon, what's your answer?
Cat.
Oh my God.
This is how much Seb
Really?
does not pay
Yeah.
attention that he had to repeat it twice. But Seb, what's yours?
Dog, obviously.
Exactly.
You've gone for cat.
100%. Dogs
What's
are
wrong with you?
wankers. He's bitten by been bitten by a few
I've been
dogs.
bitten by four dogs.
Well,
They fucking stink.
no,
The little
that's
shits.
down to the owner, isn't it?
Don't get a dog. Nah, it's down to the dogs. They're
There are some
fucking.
cats are very shifty though,
To
so
be fair, I can see why you've said cat. You probably see more in common with cats, don't you? Just pricks in general, aren't
Cool. Cats are cool.
How?
Because they make you earn their respect. It's not like dogs who are fucking sycophantic little bastards.
Can I be honest? I thought Seb was gonna say that Simon wears a cat on his head to keep his head warm or something like that. And the live cat, not that one stuffed. I'm gonna put that out there to versus
Okay. How's
that,
your mind gone straight to the head?
because if you don't mention his bald head, then it's not a normal podcast. So at least I did it for you. But anyways, I go with dog as well. Obviously, I have a dog. My Nana growing up had a cat. Its name was Dallas. It was a vicious little prick. Anytime you went near it bit you and swatted at you. And the one time well, I stayed over several times at her place, but the one time I woke up, it was laying on top of me and it purred at me. And I was terrified for it being nice to me once in its life. It was nice once out of like 10 years. It was a vicious little shit. But anyways, regardless of my scarred times with cats and Simon's with dogs, of course, 90.2%, or no, sorry, not 90.2, 74.4. I'm looking at the wrong one. It should be 90.2. 74.4% of people went with dog, and an interesting 25.6 went with a cat.
25% of people voted wrongly.
25.6% are Blues fans.
Careful.
Steady on.
I'm just kidding with that one. If you did vote for Cat on that one, please don't unsubscribe. I do apologize. It's always in jest. But anyways, we will leave things there. We should hopefully be back post-match after Ajax. But of course, thank you to Mr. Simon O'Regan and Sebastian Bacon for joining me. Find Seb on Twitter slash X, whatever the hell you want to call it. I don't know why I address both these days, but I do it every single time. At Sebastian Bacon 8. You can find Simon on there as well. At Cy O'Regan. Find me on there too. At Talk Aston Villa. Tweet the team at HoltCastPod. And if you want to email us for any God known reason, if I can say that twice, it's HoltCast at gmail.com. But anyways, we'll leave it there. And don't forget, up the villa.